Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In our journey through the book of Acts, we have come to the stage at which the gospel started to reach beyond Jerusalem into the regions of Judea and Samaria, just like Jesus prophesied. Persecution against the church in Jerusalem was the catalyst. As common folk of the church fled Jerusalem, they took the gospel with them and introduced it to these new regions. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 8 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins today's study.
Acts chapter 8, picking up where we left off last week. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that is Stephen's. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that in whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen, which implies that he was voting for the stoning as a member of the Sanhedrin. In Acts chapter 22, his own testimony tells us in verse 20, "And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." We read that at that time, or there arose at that time, a great persecution against the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Evidently, the convicting testimony of Stephen before this religious Supreme Court really, to put it mildly, upset them. Because now the persecution has gone viral. The persecution which Satan intended to cause the gospel to be hindered actually was spread because of the persecution. Sometimes there's concern over what's going to happen to the church in this day and age when all hell is breaking loose against it. Well, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Nothing is going to stop the Christ, our Christ, from building his church. And so we read that now the persecution takes place, and the true believers in Christ are now scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Matthew Henry wrote, "Wherever the established believer is driven, he carries the knowledge of the gospel and makes known the preciousness of Christ in every place." One of the early church fathers, Tertullian, speaking of Christian persecution, wrote this, quote, "Kill us, torture us, condemn us, grind us to dust. Your injustice is proof that we are innocent. The oftener we are mown down by you, the more in number we grow. The blood of Christians is the seed of the spreading of the gospel." And that's what's happening here. The persecution is intensifying. At one time, it was just directed towards all of the leaders. Now, all who had called on the name of the Lord are being persecuted. And God is using this actually to further the gospel. And so we read that they were spread abroad. They were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. And we read in verse 2 that Stephen was carried to his burial place with great lamentation by devout men. Unnamed. But bear in mind that these unnamed followers of Jesus are displaying a great amount of courage because they're openly identifying themselves as the friends of Stephen, as followers of Jesus Christ, whose blood had been unrighteously shed. Well, Saul is making havoc of the church. We read in verse 3, he enters into every house, inhaling men and women, committed them to prison. The words "made havoc" are interesting. The Greek can refer to an army destroying a city, or in this context, it refers to a wild animal tearing at its meat. In Psalm chapter 80, verse 13, this Greek word is used to describe a wild boar ravaging a vineyard. And so Saul now is on a mission. Not to build up the church, that's going to happen, but to destroy the church. I think we can safely say that he's barking pretty loud in opposition. Wouldn't you say that? It's pretty obvious. This shows us that sometimes, not every time, sometimes the people that are barking the loudest against the gospel are closer than we think to coming to faith in the gospel. So if you have someone in your life who is barking against you, barking against Christ, don't write them off. Stay on your knees and pray for them. Pray for them. That God, the Holy Spirit, would convict them. Now, what drove Paul to this, believe it or not, was his strong orthodox beliefs that did not allow him to interpret the scriptures to believe that Jesus was the Christ. He says he was zealous of the traditions in Philippians 3, 6. And here is Paul now. He's empowered by the Sanhedrin to go from house to house, seeking to arrest, to imprison, persecute, and if need be, murder those who believed in Jesus Christ. In chapter 9, again, we read in verses 1 and 2 of the book of Acts, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Next 22:4, he says, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. When he wrote to the church of Galatia, he says in chapter 1, verse 13, for you have heard of my conversation or my behavior, my lifestyle, in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And because of the persecution, we read in verse 4, therefore, because of the persecution, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere preaching the good news of salvation by grace through faith in Christ. There's something very interesting here that isn't clear in the English, but it is very clear in the Greek. There are two different words in the ancient Greek language for the idea of scattered. One has the idea of scattering in the sense of making something disappear, like scattering someone's ashes. The other word has the idea of scattering in the sense of planting or sowing seeds. That's the word that is used here. So persecution from the devil causes the disciples to flee, but when they flee, they are actually spreading the gospel. The gospel is not hindered. Whatever the devil had in mind, it backfired. It backfired. Because the plans of the devil can never stand against the plans of God. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. And if you and I are true believers in Jesus Christ, we are going to see an increasing amount of persecution like never before. That should inspire us to preach the gospel more, to preach the truth of God in love. Notice it says that they were preaching in verse 4. You see that the word for preaching, the Greek is evangelizing. It's the same word that could be used to describe a Billy Graham, a Franklin Graham, or a Greg Laurie. But these people that are out there doing that are not a Billy Graham, not a Franklin Graham, not a Greg Laurie. They're literal yous and me's. And they're going out and preaching the gospel. You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, have been called by God and appointed by God and anointed by God to preach the gospel wherever you go. We know that we're under enemy attack. Thank God we have godly armor that covers us from head to toe. Right? Never take it off. Sleep with it on. Sometimes he attacks in the middle of the night up here. How many of you know that? Right? And so our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Here are these unnamed saints. God knows who they are. It doesn't matter if anybody else knows who you are. The important thing is that God knows who you are. That's what's important. Remember that. It doesn't matter if man sees you, doesn't see you, recognize you, or doesn't recognize you. Whatever we do, we are to do it for the Lord. We are to do it for his glory. And because they are genuinely converted, they share the good news. One commentator, and I honestly forgot who it was, said this: as Satan tried in vain to stamp out the flames of the gospel of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, sparks were flying and igniting the fires of evangelism everywhere. Can you imagine if there was such a thing as email in hell? I don't think this is working. It's backfiring. When we get to chapter 11 of the book of Acts, we read, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. So you look that up in your little Bible maps that you have, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Preaching the word. sharing the gospel. Now, Philip is back on the scene here. The same who was one of the seven, some believe they were the first deacons in Acts chapter 6, 5. He's not the apostle Philip because the apostles remained in Jerusalem at least up to this point in time. Some apostles are going to show up here as we read. But now Philip is now on the scene. And he's going to the city of Samaria. Listen to this. 2 Kings 17 gives the account of the Assyrian invasion of Israel in 721 BC, when the 10 northern tribes were carried into captivity before the Assyrians claimed the northern part of Israel. As they moved into the area, the Assyrians married the impoverished Jews who were left behind, and a half-breed race was produced known as the Samaritans. The Jews in the south looked down on the Samaritans, calling them half-breeds and dogs, and went out of their way to avoid any contact with them. That is why it would have been shocking to hear Jesus say in John 4:4, "I must needs go through Samaria." 7 years after Jesus talked with the Samaritan woman at the well, I wonder if she was there hearing Philip preach. Well, we know that when she did leave the conversation with Jesus, she went and told everybody. Remember, she had been married 5 times. She was presently living with a man. And she goes and tells all the men, "Hey, this Messiah, I met him. He told me everything that I've ever done." I wonder how many guys are going, "Uh-oh." And so here is this very, very unlikely, in human way of thinking, instrument that I believe is planting the seed of prayer and of revival. And now here comes Philip. Notice that he preached Christ unto them. Christ crucified. Christ risen. Christ coming again. Christ, the hope of the kingdom of God. Now, do you think that there were current events going on at this time? Political issues, they were always happening. I am so encouraged and so challenged, and we should be too, beloved, that those that were scattered and those who were sent made it a point to not give way to current events, preaching the only thing that matters. They preached Christ. Because that's the only way that hearts change, that lives change, that people change. They preached Christ, the Christ of the Bible. I have to emphasize that. Not the Christ of other religious books. Paul, when he wrote to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4, and verses 13 and 14, he warned them, and we ought to be warned, about those who preach a false Christ, a false gospel, a counterfeit spirit, because they are angels of the devil transforming themselves into apostles of light. How we need to stay biblically grounded in preaching the word of God, contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. See, the world that we live in wants us to be all-inclusive. Well, your Jesus is the same as the Jesus of the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness or the Muslims or the Hindus. No, no, no. The spelling may be the same, but when you ask for identity and you use the Bible as the criteria, there are different Jesus. Now, that's not popular, but that's the truth. But how many of you know the truth is not popular these days? And so they're preaching Christ, preaching the word of God. And notice in verse 8, the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, or actually which God did through him. Now, Philip was not an apostle, but we see here that he was anointed with the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel and to perform miracles. Now, I have to talk a little bit about miracles for a moment. Miracles in and of themselves do not bring salvation. But biblical miracles done by the Spirit of God are signs. And they convey an important message. And they also are used to confirm the instrument who is proclaiming the message. The Bible tells us at the end of Mark's gospel, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. You see, we don't follow signs. We follow the word. And when a person is living in the power of the word of God and proclaiming the word of God, God will, according to his will and his time, perform the signs and the wonders and the miracles as he deems fit. Now, notice one of the manifestations of the Spirit in verse 7. Unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies or paralyzed and that were lame were healed. Unclean spirits, demonic oppression and possession. Do you think unclean spirits are around today? We read in the Gospels, we read in the book of Acts, that Jesus and those whom he empowered by the Holy Ghost were enabled to cast out demons and heal the sick. And the authority to cast out demons in the name of Jesus and the ability to display biblical manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, or in particularly the gift or gifts of healing, are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But we are not in control of those gifts. There's no such thing as a faith healer. These are gifts that God ordains in his time for his glory and for his purpose. Thank God for these giftings that God has given to the church. Now, I find it interesting that there's mention of demonic possession and oppression. The human author through which the Holy Spirit uses to put the quill to the page to write the Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts is a medical doctor. And he tells us that there is a difference between demonic oppression and possession and physical healing. And I wonder, in this day and age that we are living in, if we have missed, how can I say this kindly? I wonder how many people oppressed by the devil or possessed by the devil, well, let me put it right out there. According to Dr. Luke, demonic entities are not cast out by therapy or with medication. A demon's not going to go away because you put a pill in him or her, or because you go to some therapy session. Those entities are only cast out in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost. And God declares that they will go. They do go when the church is functioning in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And I'm of the persuasion that there are many people innocently being treated of things that are demonic in a physical way, and you're never going to be set free. Christ will set you free. He sets you free. He is the only one who can set you free. And he does set people free from that demonic oppression and possession.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.